Yep, she is waving to you guys, but she's not bothering to make eye contact. So she likes
you.
Hey
there.
She doesn't respect you. You know,
baby.
Much like me.
You can't hear me.
Don't be afraid of the Canadian.
Yeah. How's it going, okay. Eh? You hoser?
She is looking at you guys.
Yeah.
All right, you guys ready to get this podcast started?
Oh, yeah.
So bad.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So bad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome to episode 142 of One More Podcast, part of the VG Evo Podcast Network. My name is Eric Bailey. I took the blue pill, and I am the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer and co-community manager, and I took both pills at the same time.
My name's Jason Lamb, resident Canadian, and you should crush and snort those pills.
Wait.
Wow.
How else am I supposed to take these pills then?
There. I'm proud of you.
That's the only... Don't get me wrong. I was born and raised in Kentucky. That is the only way I know how to take pills. That's why crushing them and snorting them. Is that wrong?
Yeah,
is that
wrong.
Bad?
I'm going to go ahead and say
is
yes.
Is that not how things are supposed to be?
For some pills, it just wouldn't be healthy. Like, you're supposed to have the right time to dissolve, and it has an old delivery system. There's a science to it, you know?
I mean, when I was a kid, we had the Flintstone vitamins. That was
those
the first
good.
Thing we would do. We would smash them on the desk and just... Oh, those are my vitamins.
Jason, is he being serious right now?
Yeah.
I can't tell.
No, he is.
Again, Kentucky.
Yeah. just
sometimes Kentucky.
Sometimes you just crush it and mix it into some bourbon and you're good to go.
There you go. Okay. Pills and bourbon. Mm. Every week on the One More Podcast.
Couldn't even spell pills and bourbon, and I was taking both at the same time.
That's a little crazy. I will say the quality of our podcast... I was prepared to come in here and say we've had some good showdowns lately. We've had some great listener email discussion questions. But this might be the first week where all three of us basically had the same improvised intro. We all did something. Really, guys? You all piggybacked off mine? Really? Come on.
Well, I will say that you've done the pill thing before.
Yo, intro game. Have I? No way. No. No. No way.
This is episode 142. Bailey, you're not that original.
Well, it's hard to think of.
Oh, I'm not. No, I'm not. There's no hate on this side. There's no hate on this side of Google Hangouts. I'm just saying.
I brought a baby this week. That's new. I'm trying.
Oh, so you ultimately win the showdown because you brought a baby?
I didn't say anything about the showdown. My game isn't, you know, Super Baby 64.
That's the game that I brought. Damn it.
Dang it. Son of a. Hey, you.
This guy.
So, speaking of old games, have you guys played any lately, or are we going to talk about something else?
I played something new, something old.
Okay.
That makes sense.
I will allow it.
I played some of the NES Remix game.
Ooh, is it any good?
NES for the Wii U.
Yeah, it's NES Remix, I know, right?
Whatever.
I hate people who pronounce acronyms.
Whatever.
It's like in Star Wars when they call them AT-ATs. Oh, I just want to smack
it's like the
C. Hey,
things. Do you call... Whatever. yeah,
she's
cry,
upset.
Baby.
She is upset.
Yeah, that's right.
She is upset. Yeah, so anyway, the NES remix.
The worst is the Europeans who call it the SNES. Yeah, that drives me up a wall. Like, that's physically, like, it hurts to, like, have that in my ear.
Yeah, I call it the SNES as well. But
that's disgusting.
Yuck.
Yeah. Anyway.
Gross.
NES Remix is a Wii U game. I got it for free from Club Nintendo.
What? That's cool.
Which is good. I love not paying for things. Even though I had to pay for a bunch of stuff to get it. But either way, It's essentially taking a bunch of old Nintendo games and basically turning chunks of levels into
them?
Yeah, basically. It's kind of like WarioWare almost.
Thank you.
It's like, go play some Donkey Kong and you have to dodge 5 barrels. Great, you did it in X amount of time. Here's 3 stars. Or,
yep,
kill 14 enemies in Mario Brothers within 20 seconds.
Yeah, and there's like, yeah, like you have to like do levels backwards that you're used to doing a certain way. Like you have to run to the left. Like that's some mind-tripping stuff there.
Yeah, it's, I wouldn't call it great. It's good. Nope. I definitely couldn't play this for hours. It's more of a, I've got 5-10 minutes. I guess I'll play this remix game.
That's what it sounds like.
It's an advertisement.
Pretty much.
It falls into Jason's theory of everything by Nintendo is a re-release of a re-release.
Pretty much.
Let's turn on another Mario Bros.
Yeah, it's again. Like, well, we could sell you these games through the virtual shop, or we could add some type of achievement things, and
yeah,
now you can buy it again for $35.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I have the NES remix, and I enjoyed it to the point I could only get so far where the games really aren't even games anymore.
It's just
completely ridiculous shit that you have to deal with. And at that point, it's like, okay, you've got 30 seconds to make it to the pole in Super Mario Brothers. Oh, okay, cool. But you have no control over Mario. Good luck.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's like arbitrary challenges. Like, what's the point? Like, nobody cares. Am I getting a monetary prize if I do it? No. Why should I? You know.
Yeah.
Or it's something that's super redundant. And like, and Legend of Zelda, where it's like, make it to the cave, and I'm in the cave. Congratulations!
Yeah, pretty much. They fixed this with the second one, but the first one doesn't. It would have made sense to have leaderboards, like online leaderboards.
That would have.
Like, oh great!
I thought they did that. Did they not?
No, only in the second one. The first one didn't. Because Nintendo was still trying to figure out what the hell the internet was.
What? How do I internet? How do I internet?
15 years after every other company. Oh, there's the internet.
Yeah.
I love Nintendo, but that's.
Yeah, kinda, but yeah, you know what? I think that would give it a little more longevity in terms of keeping my attention. It's like, oh, great. I set a high score because I did this level quicker than the other 10,000 people. We bought it, or whatever.
Then Jim in Nova Scotia.
Yeah, exactly.
Jim.
Ha. But, it's all right. You collect stamps. Yeah, Jonathan Higgins pointed out in the live chat. You collect Miiverse stamps, which I have absolutely no interest in, because why the hell would I post stamps?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's kind of,
yeah. Yeah, no, NES Remix, it's just okay. I'm glad it was free.
Good review, Jason Lamb. Good review.
Bam. Mm-hmm.
Hunter, how about you?
There you go. There is a new arcade that opened up near me. It's more actually in a bar / arcade.
So it's
called
barcade?
16-bit bar.
Awesome.
For those who are in the area of Cincinnati, Columbus, or Cleveland, Ohio. Apparently, they have establishments set up. The whole idea is that if you're drinking an alcoholic beverage, you can play for free. That's the idea.
Huh.
So
that's fair. Yeah, I get it.
The games that span, like, it's a huge wind storm of games. Like, you've got your Donkey Kong, you've got your I was a little crazy when I saw it, but Rolling Thunder is
there. Oh, jeez.
And it was glorious. And then you have, like, your ultimate Mortal Kombat 3. You have your Marvel vs. Capcom, Final Fight, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. There are two games that actually kind of caught my interest while I was there with the wife. This was our date night, by the way. This is what she decided she wanted to do for a date night, which is why I love the woman that I married.
Yeah.
The two games that kind of caught my attention, the first one was called Gorf. G-O-R-F.
Oh, that sounds
Gorf.
Familiar. Is that a shooter?
The game was... Yes, it is. The game was created by Midway. It's basically a Space Invaders clone, but with a couple of twists. So instead of your like stationary bunkers in front of you, there is an actual kind of curvature in front of you that makes your shield. Then once you like, but there's four different stages. So you'll beat that stage. And then the next stage they call the laser or something or other. And now the enemies have lasers, so like their attacks go straight down. So you have to like kind of dodge those. The next stage is kind of like a Tempest style stage where you're going in a circle or maybe like a Gradius. So you're going in a circle and like the enemies are
gyrus.
Coming from the center and out. Gyrus, yes, that's what I was thinking. God forbid. There goes my retro cred.
It's gone. Completely gone.
But it's a very interesting game. You play it with a joystick with the trigger on the end of it. You kind of move your ship around. It's an interesting game. It was one that I have never heard of before. And it was kind of interesting to play or to watch my wife play. The other game, which may be more interesting than the first.
More than Gorf?
Is what? Donkey Kong 2.
What?
Return of Jumpman. So Donkey Kong 2, Return of Jumpman, is apparently a game that was made not by Nintendo, but by a separate developer altogether. And it mimics what Donkey Kong was, but more in an advanced state. So rather than just the regular four levels, you have eight levels now.
That's
and those
sweet,
eight
actually.
Levels are super difficult. Like, I'm not even... Like, I'm not the best Donkey Kong player. I love playing Donkey Kong, but I'm not the best Donkey Kong player. I couldn't beat the first stage because there's the middle section of the first stage... has these platforms that are there's two sets of platforms. One's moving from left to right. The other one's moving from right to left. So you have to jump on one platform that's moving right to left, then jump on the bottom platform because it's moving the other way, and then jump on the top platform and to make it to the left hand side. The problem is it's Donkey Kong. So if you drop not even a fraction of a centimeter, you die, because apparently. The Mario that is a carpenter can't jump from high spaces, so he dies.
His legs are made out of glass.
Now, granted, this was the way that the arcade setup is like mini arcades, where it's kind of like a free to play, and you just hit the button and keep playing. But still, like it was, I have never. I'm 29 years old. Hey, I've been playing video games since I was four. Okay.
Yeah.
That's 25 years of playing video games nonstop. I have never heard of Donkey Kong 2 Return of Jumpman until like 3 days ago.
Wow. Yeah, because I mean, even Gorf, like I've been to Galloping Ghost, they have 300 something games. The moment you said Gorf, I was like, I remember that game. I sucked at it. Donkey Kong 2? No,
but
that's a
super
new one.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But it's weird, man. It's super weird. It just goes to show that like the world of video games is much like history. It repeats itself. So,
yeah.
When you've got games that are like uber popular now, and then like if you look at the indie game sphere of things, you start to see like history repeating itself. When Five Nights at Freddy's came out, like it was a monster of a video game. Like everybody wanted to play this game. Nobody made a game like this before, which is not true. There were many games like this way before this game was released, but you know, who am I to judge? And it was the same thing with like Space Invaders, When Space Invaders first came out, everybody had a clone of Space Invaders. Yeah. When Pac-Man came out, everybody had a clone of Pac-Man.
Oh, yeah.
This is history repeating itself. You cannot go to GameJolt.com and search for Five Nights at Freddy's and not find 100 clones of this game, just like Pac-Man and Space Invaders were however many years ago. You know, like, it's we're going through the same steps as we did, and everybody's mad. It's like, stop making these games. It's like, no, please keep making these games, because sooner or later somebody's going to make something amazing and you're going to be like, well, this game's great. It's like, yeah, if it wasn't for this game 4 years ago, this game never would have happened, so you're welcome.
Yeah, and history,
don't be mad.
Repeating itself, I'm not sure if that's a good or a bad thing, but one of the great things about retro gaming is that you can be in the scene for 25 years and still learn new stuff. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. Yep. Like, even people who are super into it, they're like, you know, the PhD retro gamers who are actually adding stuff to the knowledge base. Even
they're
like,
the
holy crap. Like,
selects.
They unearth like these demos of games. Like, we just found another prototype. It's like, what? Superman 64 had a prototype? Or even better? That's crazy. And it's also cool because newer people in the scene don't know some of the stuff that longtime gamers take for granted. Like, we just spoke recently about in Duck Hunt, the second player can control the ducks. Yeah, I've known that for a long time, but if you didn't know that, it blows your mind. You're like, what? And there's so much cool stuff. It's a fun hobby.
It had an instruction booklet?
What's an instruction booklet? Then you bust out your collection of NES instruction booklets, and they're like, oh my gosh, all the original art and documentation. That's so cool. I mean, that's just me.
Who would pay for this? Yeah. So it's interesting, just because the gaming industry, regardless of what people want to say about it, it's a living and breathing thing. Like, E3 just happened. And I don't know about you guys, but this past E3 was just staples into my theory that everything repeats itself. Like, the biggest things were either iterations of series or remakes or sequels.
Oh, yeah.
Like, nothing new came out of this E3. Like, Nintendo was, like, you know, giving the salute the entire time. Like, every release. Like, oh, you're making a Fallout? You're welcome. Oh, another Doom? Let's give you a little salute on that one. Yeah. Welcome to Nintendo.
Yeah, as much as people complain about all these games being shoved out by companies again and again and again, I think E3 kind of proves that's exactly what we want.
Yeah,
exactly,
and
what you want.
There's also not to get weird, but there's a finite limit to the types of games there can be to begin with. Like, choose a time period for your setting. Okay, you're going medieval fantasy, you're going contemporary, you're going sci-fi in the future. Okay, is it a first-person shooter? I mean, you put in the elements, and it's like, well, there's already been 30,000 games like that, but we're going to add one wrinkle at least to try and make it interesting. Like, Splatoon, probably the most original game of all time.
Is it?
But
what?
But when's the last time? You know, I don't know.
It's not. Just so you know,
it's not. I know.
It's just a rip off of Swan Song. That's all it is.
Wow.
Have you ever played that game?
You suck. Nope.
I'm gonna guess it's better.
I like the instruction booklet for win, lose, or draw because it's a drawing game, and the instruction book is almost exclusively just big blocks of text, like text, words, and like, who's gonna read this? Like, I mean, other than me, like, look at this.
I was gonna say, didn't you read it? You read that, didn't you?
It's been a while.
So the real question is how do you make a game today that gives you the same essence that you did back in the 90s, where you were discovering everything on your own. There was no outlets or game facts or strategy guides. How do you make a game like that today with the internet?
It has to be procedurally generated.
And that is a bullshit answer, Jason Lamb.
What?
That is it. No, I'm not kidding. That is a cheap cop out. You are smarter than that. Come on. Oh, everything's randomly generated? That, come on. That doesn't do anything for me.
Why not?
I don't know what that's.
Okay.
Because
here.
That's accepted. That's expected from everybody.
Yeah, to an extent. I'm not, well, yeah, to an extent. But, like, when you're playing Skyrim or something, that's not procedurally generated. I'm talking, like, truly procedurally generated, not... Like, one of the games I'm most interested in coming out is... Have you heard of No Man's Sky?
It's going to be unimaginably Absolutely. Large. Like, no person is ever going to reach all of it.
Yeah. And you know
and
what?
Nobody's going to play it. But
that, no,
but
that excites
not true.
Me.
Yeah. There's, yeah. I may not, but there's people out there who will be
yeah.
Like,
yeah. And they're not even... They
is
haven't...
Batman Arkham Knight?
Yeah, just Batman Arkham Knight.
Sorry. Continue.
But they've done a really good job with the marketing, as they haven't explicitly said what exactly is going to be in the game. They've kind of left it vague, and like you have to go discover it. So I think it's one of the few games, because most games are just like, hey, it's you're going to climb a tower and unlock some of the map.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say that's better than, like, if you guys have heard of a game called Firewatch by
yes.
Campus Santo. Have you heard about that game? Anytime you get the developer down, any of the developers, if you get to sit them down and say, tell me what Firewatch is, they will never give you a straightforward answer.
Yeah.
And, like, at first, like, I thought it was funny. I was like, oh, these guys are, like, trying to create, like, this bubble. And, you know, like, you only know what Firewatch is if you're on the inside. And the more I heard of, like, their interviews and, like, discussions about video games and Firewatch in general, I've come to the conclusion that they don't even know what their own game is. Like, they're hoping for somebody to sit down and be like, oh, it's blah, 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 blah. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what this game is. No. Like, that's not what I want. I don't want to play the game and think, I have no idea what this is, because you couldn't decide what kind of game you wanted to make. Like, I don't
right.
want that. That's not a fun time for me.
You know what? For, a full retail price for, like, I'm not paying $60 for that. But if this is, like,
right.
a small indie game, and you launch this for $10-$15, I'll be intrigued. I'll probably pull the trigger on that. Because the $60 games, that $60 Batman game that comes out, or the $60 Assassin's Creed, I know exactly what I'll be doing in that Batman game
right.
or that Assassin's Creed, because it's going to be pretty much just what I did the last time. And yeah, I love it, but I know what I'm going to do, so you know what? I'll wait off on that.
Yeah. Frog Fractions 2. That's my answer for you, Hunter.
God damn it.
Oh, Jesus. Again... What
look
is
up.
Frog Factions 2?
Well, look, no, listen.
If I was,
look
if
up
I was
my
going to make a crane
creator.
Out of paper, it would be a crane
but
of
see,
sadness.
But see, the release idea is crazy. He's not telling people when it's coming out. But there's going to be a game that comes out that is Frog Factions 2. It's not going to be called Frog Factions 2. But it's going to release, and people have to figure
so you're
out.
You're telling me... That somebody is making a game that sometime will be released in the near future.
But it won't be called what it is. Like, nobody will know. It's like a stealth release. It's... Have
so
you played
nobody
the
knows what the game's going to be called. You are the
right.
top five developers in 2015
no, it's not,
right
no,
now.
It's not like a... It's not like a... okay, that was...
It is. Trust me. No, I'm sorry. No, it's...
Have you
you're not
the
doing anything different for me.
Oh,
have I
you
yes.
The original?
If
so
that's
good.
What you want to call it, I have played it. I think it's more of an experience.
It's awesome.
I don't think you actually play Frog Fractions. I think Frog
kinda,
Fractions plays you.
Yeah, you just kind of like push it through your brain and hope it exits somewhere healthy.
It's a little awkward. I'm not gonna lie.
Hunter, you'll appreciate this. This is the instruction manual for Iron Man Stewart's Super Off-Road. On page 11, it has a little advertisement for four other games
so
from Trade West. Now, one of them is
of
legitimate. It's okay. It's pretty good. Double Dragon. That's a pretty good game.
It's a good game.
The other three games. This has got to be I'm not exaggerating. The worst lineup of three games in the history of game advertisements. Magic Johnson's Fast Break. Ooh. John Elway's Quarterback. And Taboo the Sixth Sense.
Oh, Taboo.
Those are actually three of the worst NES games in the whole life. You have the second worst football game. Probably the worst basketball game, although one of the only four players, sadly enough. And Taboo, which
isn't even really a game.
It's not even a game. So that's so awful.
It's a game that Jason would play.
I wish at the end of the Super Mario Brothers 2 instruction book, it would tell you it was all just a dream, and then you wake up. Wouldn't that be freaky? That'd be cool.
No, I think it would be better if they were talking about Super Mario Brothers 3, and you should pre-order a $70 game right now.
Yeah. Yeah. The Super Mario Bros. Duck Hunt instruction manual, which pixelated the drawings so that people wouldn't be disappointed at how it actually looked when they played the game. They would have a reasonable expectation. I played a game this week.
What'd you play?
Oh, I thought we were moving on. That's fine. What have you played?
Can I take... I want to take a turn. I know last week I didn't, but... last night I asked people, like, I put aside some time to play a game, and I asked Twitter, I'm like, what should I play? The first, like, half dozen replies are just weird stuff. And granted, I did ask for, like, a kind of a more obscure game, but like, I was like, no. I just knowed the first, like, six. I was like, no. Then someone said Astyanax. And I said, okay.
What?
Okay. Astyanax. It's made by Joleco. It's a scrolling platformer. It scrolls both directions, some vertical, some horizontal. And the thing about Astyanax is my only memory of it before last night. I remember beating it as a kid with the game Genie. And I remember having huge sprites and a slow-moving protagonist. And those are still accurate. Your person moves pretty darn slow, but the levels aren't too long, which is fine. Has some weird stuff. For example, if you actually watch the story, like the cutscenes and the text, from the moment you turn the game on, watch the intro, and then hit start and watch the other intro, you do not play the game for a solid 6 minutes. Like, you are just sitting there reading the words and seeing the... I mean, it's grueling. And what kills me, and the reason I would say the game is interesting and it's okay, I wouldn't recommend it, but I would recommend you check it out. Maybe not like... I don't know. Here's what I hate. Hate, can't stand. I don't know if it's the translation or the original text, but it's inconsistent in its punctuation. It drives me insane. They cannot decide how many periods to use in their ellipses. There are sentences that end in one period. Sentences that end in two periods. There are some sentences that end in five or six periods. To triple the drama, what? I guess. There's some that end in four periods. When I first saw the two-period one, I quickly formed an excuse that I went and drive myself insane. I was like, oh, there's an indentation. The first line, and the second line has a space, and then the sentence, right? So I'm like, okay, they really want to have an indentation, but they really want more than one period. I'll let that one slide. Very next screen, no indentation. Both sentences begin on the same space. So they can't even get the indentation to be consistent. And it was... I don't think there's any excuse for that. I think the people who made it should die. And the good news is they will if they haven't already.
Wow.
So I got to level 2-2, and the boss killed me a couple times. Medusa. Yeah, it turns out she's... You know, it's pattern-based. I could have been patient, like jumped over the snakes each time they appear. It's just, you only get like one hit in. So, yeah, but it's a generic, slow-moving... scrolling platformer. I'm kind of bashing it. Here's some good things. Music, phenomenal. Great music. Graphics are pretty good. The background's kind of detailed. The enemies are kind of weird design. They're like a leaping skeleton that... I was impressed. He blocked me with his sword. Like, I went to strike him, and he blocked it, and I was like, what? This is the NES. You don't have AI in this? What's going on? Well, then there's, like, other enemies that are just cheap. Like, there's, like, a bunch of gaps, and it, like, sprouts up on one of the places you're supposed to jump to, and there is knockback, so you die. There's these little nubs that fly through the air, kind of weird. So it's an okay. I was trying to say some good things about it. Graphics.
Generic, I think, is what the,
it is very
the word
generic.
That
it's made
you're
by
for.
It's made by Julio. Yeah. They should have stuck to making six more bases loaded games. Let's be honest. Yeah, weird story. There's a living butterfly named Cutie, who transports a 16-year-old into a magical realm, and he says, he's like, "How can I save the princess? I'm only 16." And in my mind, I'm thinking, no 16-year-old would actually say that. Like, if you brought a 16-year-old into a mystical realm and said, "You are now a powerful knight. You have to save the princess." Any 16-year-old guy I know would be like, "Hell yeah, I got this." Like, no 16-year-old would be like, "But I'm only 16. I can't do this." Like, no, they'd be all about it. Testosterone coursing through every pore of their body.
It's good.
Yeah, so. It's good. Astyanax, it is a game. Hmm. It has some qualities to it, but mostly it's forgettable.
Sadly. Yeah, it's a game only a mother would love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if you only had four NES games, it would be one of those we'd play over and over until you got good at it. There is some logic to the combat. Like, you have a reach, and some enemies are designed like you're standing on the whole another platform away, but you're like bonking them in the face till they die. Okay. One last thing about it, one good thing, you are given a ton of health. Like, you have an enormous health bar, and you really will take, like, 20 hits before you die. So that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Astyanax. That's cool. What I played this week.
For better, man, for talk worse. About wasting your time.
Yeah, so whatever person on Twitter suggested that. Let's go to a listener email discussion question. This week's comes from Kelly. On Twitter, she's Ginger Kelly. That's with an I, so it's GINGERKELLI. She says, "Hey, podcastlers! You guys are awesome. My second favorite podcast, right behind Welcome to Night Vale," which is really saying something.
What is it? Welcome to Night Vale?
It's the number one podcast on iTunes. I haven't listened to an episode. I've only listened to an NPR interview of the creator of it. Apparently, it's like a storytelling podcast where every conspiracy theory is true, and it takes place in a little desert town. It's really pop. It has millions of listeners, so it must be pretty cool. Yeah. Anyway, the email goes on. "Just wanted to know if there were any opinions in a video game that you chose to take on, even though you knew it meant immense destruction. I'm thinking like trying a boss when you know you aren't leveled up properly, or maybe letting the moon crash on you in Majora's Mask. Your favorite video game, ultimate destruction or horror moments. Thanks, Kelly." That's a good question. I have a love-hate relationship with this question, because I'm totally the guy who, if the game's like, "Oh, warning, if you go through this door, all the enemies are too powerful. You really shouldn't go through this door," I will absolutely save the game and walk through that door to see what it's like. Every time. Every time. But can I think of, like, one example of when I did that? I mean, she took Majora's Mask. Yeah, I did that. Watch the moon crash and everybody be all sad and die. You know, pretty sweet.
I don't know.
I tend to do that with any, any MMO or, you know, any modern RPG.
Exactly.
Because you get to the point where you realize, hey, I don't have to kill every enemy along the way. They just want me to collect this item, or they want me to kill this one specific enemy, and I'll still get the XP point. Sweet. So I ended up just, like, you know, bypassing all these, you know, kind of fodder enemy I'm supposed to do that would have given me XP. And eventually I get so far into the game where let's say I'm level 32, but I'm supposed to be level 40, 42. And you get to a boss, and you're like, I can't kill you, but I'm going to try about 12 times.
Yeah, exactly.
And if I can't beat you, I'm going to just stop playing this game.
Well, Final Fantasy VII, the giant snake thing.
Oh,
I leveled up and killed that son of a Yeah, I totally. Because like, if you don't kill it, you come back through, and it's like the it's just like 300-foot long snake on a stake, and they're like, did Sephiroth do this? But if you kill it, you kind of just like walk through, and it's really, you don't know you're missing anything. I killed it, so I don't know. Maybe that's not the same thing, because that wasn't horrible. That was awesome. I conquered that. I mean, I grinded for hours, but it was worth it.
Yeah, pretty much RPGs and MMOs all the time.
Yeah, because I was thinking about this question, and most games aren't set up to allow you to have that opportunity. You think about any platformer made in the past 30 years?
Yeah.
You don't even get to choose where to go. So it pretty much is limited to RPGs, where there is a factor of getting stronger.
Right.
Like Kirby's Adventure, like there's challenges. They could try and beat all the bosses without any power-ups. But those are different. Like there's that challenge that was going around on YouTube a couple months ago, beating Chippendale Rescue Rangers while carrying Player 2 through the game.
Oh, I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah. I meant to try it too. But I'm not sure if that counts. Yeah. You know what? Dead Space. There's different death animations. So I did a few on purpose. Like, oh, I wonder what animation would show if I let this guy kill me. I did that. Deja Vu on NES. There's a part where you find chemicals. You have to mix them to heal your stomachache or poisoned or whatever. And you can definitely like drink the wrong thing and die. Yeah, doing that for fun. I totally did that. That's true. That's fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do that with like massive weapons. Like Fallout when you get the gun that shoots a nuke. Like, I'll just stand in the middle of this town and fire it at my feet.
Yeah.
No. Not that guy. Just not that guy.
Missing
out. Hunter's not that guy.
We've talked about it before, you know, like the chickens and A Link's Awakening.
Oh yeah.
It's like
any Zelda game.
Never have done that. I have never done that. Like that's just not something I've ever done.
Wow.
Like I've seen the video, but I would never slash a virtual chicken in a video game just to see the outcome. I'm just not gonna do it.
Well, like Resident Evil 4. Like, you save your game, then you walk up to the cow and see how many shots it takes to kill it.
I'm not going to do that.
I guess you have a soul. Good job.
Somewhere. I mean, it's small and weathered, but it's there. One of the things that came to mind was the remake of Resident Evil on the GameCube.
Yep.
Whereas if you didn't completely destroy the head of the zombie, they can come back as like the Crimson Head, which are next to impossible to beat. Like that was always a bad choice when I was playing that game.
I haven't beaten that yet. I have it, but
I've played the original PlayStation version so much that the things that they've added to the GameCube completely throw me out of what I was doing and what I'm supposed to do. So I'm like, all right, I don't know what's going on. Hands up.
And
game's
like,
over. Don't want to play anymore. Like,
not to be the hipster who throws out his oh-so-controversial opinions, but the original Resident Evil, it's kind of a slog. I mean, that's not a fast-paced game. You're just like...
No.
Walking through this corridor.
Not at all. Oh, this dog's coming out the window. I guess I'll just run a little faster. Oh, there's a spider on the wall. I guess I'll just dodge another freaking special key.
Do I have to listen to her play the piano? What are we doing right now?
Pick up this herb. Oh, I can't because I've got too many. Where is my chest?
I tried to stretch out this ink ribbon. I thought I could make it 45 minutes, but I just died. I guess I just wasted that 45 minutes.
Yeah. So.
Whoops. Guess I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
Playing this stupid game.
I mean, I'm sure there's... I've never been that player that plays a game and looks at the atmosphere of that you're playing in. You're like, oh, this kind of seems like open world. Like I can kind of go anywhere I want. But yet there's a path in front of me. Like there's nothing but grass and trees. But in front of me is a very beaten path that is dirt. That's like, oh, it wants you to go this path. I go the path. You know, like.
You weirdo.
I will watch these players, especially when it comes around for like the awesome games done quick or summer games done quick. And they're like doing all these crazy glitches and stuff. And like, I think to myself, how do you even begin to think of how to perform these glitches in these games?
Yeah.
And the number one like rule is do the opposite of what the game wants you to do. But in my mind, it's like, well, then I'm going against what the developer was intending, which kind of throws everything off. Why would I do that? Like, why? Like, it? I'm supposed to go right. Why would I ever go left?
Well, you can get
like,
into
that
the
doesn't
whole
make any sense.
Discussion on art and books and authorial intent. Like, there's scholarly debates over, well, does the reader decide what the book means or does the author decide what the book means? And both sides have a point.
See,
I always go right.
I find a lot of games now are banking on the fact that you want to go off like the path. Like,
absolutely.
Have you played Far Cry 3?
Never.
No, all right.
I will never play Far Cry 3.
Don't. I didn't like it. I generally like shooters.
Jason didn't like it.
But I was talking to people about, okay, I didn't like Far Cry 3. I'm like, yeah, the story just kind of wasn't that fun. It's kind of sucked. You're like, no, the best part of the game is, you know, it's what you find out in the jungle. Like, you know, these random events. You have to go exploring. I'm like, I don't want to go exploring. There's a 20-hour goddamn story in here. That's what it should be the good part. I'm not going
to
spend another 20 hours just wandering through virtual forest.
Right.
Yeah.
Or it's like The Witcher 3. The Witcher 3 has 200 hours of gameplay. Or you could just screw around. No, I've got 200 hours.
Yeah.
I've got 200 hours of gameplay before me. Why would I ever just walk around and not do anything?
Well, it's like,
why?
Have you guys heard that new fundraising trend? Now that there's like enormous open worlds in modern games where they do walkathons, but instead of like a physical person walking in the real world, they're like, I'm gonna load up Skyrim, go to one end of the world, I'm gonna walk, and I'm gonna stream my walk and raise money while I'm doing it. And like, I forget what game they did last weekend, but the guy, all he did was walk, keep in mind, not run, he just walked 11 and a half hours straight.
Wow.
Just walking across a virtual environment.
And who the hell's watching this shit? Who are the people who have time in their life to sit down and go, you know what?
Thank you.
It would be great to watch
you
this guy just
watched?
Walk through a game. I could play the game, but no, I'm going to watch this dick walk across the world for 11 hours.
I'm not going to play the game. I'm not even going to watch someone play the game.
No. I'm just going to watch him walk. God damn it.
How did we get here?
Jason's legitimately
Jesus
pissed
Christ. Gaming community pisses me off.
Can you imagine, like,
whoa.
Passionate
PC Master
about
Race
the community.
Represent.
They call people, like their friends, like, dude, you have got to check this out. Like, go to this guy's Twitch channel right now. He is walking across the game. He's probably going to be doing this for another, like, 9 hours, bro.
I already gave him money. Should give him some money. I already gave him money.
Okay, I gave him $20. You gave him for what?
Like I understand like donating money when someone does a physical walk or run because that expends energy and requires like mastery over your own body. Literally walking in a video game is the laziest thing you could do.
Well, now they are walking 9 hours without getting up to urinate.
You may as well. It's a wireless controller. Really.
All right,
you may as well just
pushing up. What's the big deal?
Stream the title screen.
Grab a rock, put it on the analog stick, and walk away.
No, just stream the title screen. Just have freaking Skyrim up there and stream that for 11 hours.
That's what I'm going
to
do.
Look how long it takes me to press start.
I can't do anything else. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to stream the title screen of Clue Clue Land for 36 hours straight. No commentary. I'm just going to load it up and hit start and just let it stream.
Go about your life like everybody else?
Go to work. Come back home. Yep, still. I might actually. That'd be hilarious. I might actually do that. Set up the stream. The title screen of a game, hit start stream and just leave.
See what happens.
Yeah. This is gonna
what
be
the
a
hell
really
is going
episode.
On? Yeah, where are we?
Yeah, okay, let's go to a music break.
Good discussion, but yeah, wow, music break. Remix from Super Smash Bros. Melee. Good stuff. Speaking of good stuff, it's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For anyone who doesn't know, basically we each pick an old video game, introduce it, and then argue about who picked the best game. The best part is that you, the audience, get to vote for your favorite in a poll on the podcast episode page on onemorecastle.com. By the way, if you want to send us an email for your own discussion question to be answered, the email address is podcast@onemorecastle.com. 4 out of 5 episodes, I forget to mention that when I actually do the email. podcast@onemorecastle.com. Send all your complaints that way. I'll totally read them.
They will be ready.
Yeah, it happens. 2 weeks ago, our theme for the showdown was Bodies of Water. Games that, you know, had to have a body of water in them somewhere. And I don't want to dwell too much on the results because Jason won.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what? Come on, man.
God. Yeah, I had hope because, you know, last week he didn't win. So I was thinking, you know, maybe we're finally turning this trend around of Jason winning most of the time. But nope. Looks like we're back to Jason winning most of the time.
Spider-Man.
He had Spider-Man the Animated Series for Super Nintendo, which got more votes than me and Hunter combined, even though Hunter brought
You're
Steve
kidding
Man.
Me.
I'm not kidding, and I brought Cobra Triangle, so I don't know how.
Where are my Dreamcast fans?
All the comments. I mean, I had a couple of vocal supporters of Cobra Triangle right on the page there, but yeah, but Jason pulled it out, so
Imagine that.
Mm.
Congratulations, question mark.
Thanks. I think.
No.
This week's theme is lightning. There's lightning in the game somewhere. I don't know how to hype it up. Lightning's Woo. Already pretty darn hype. It's lightning. You know. Kapow. Yeah. Lightning. Usually I go first, and you guys won't let any other order ever happen. So.
Nope. Are you
ready? I guess I'm ready, sure.
You may begin.
Okay, this game is a classic. You've heard of it, even if you haven't played video games. It revolutionized... Okay, you know what? It didn't revolutionize the industry, but it was extremely influential. I would personally put it top 10 most influential games ever. People don't think of it that way, but at the time, you have to realize, it pushed boundaries that had never been pushed before. People didn't realize that you could push those boundaries. It had commercials that were just legendary. There's a character in it who shoots lightning out of his hands. His name's Raiden. The game is Mortal Kombat for the Sega Genesis. See, you thought I was going to say Super Nintendo, but no. That version doesn't even have blood in it. Screw that. The game hasn't aged well, but it's a classic. It's fun.
What?
Well, the sequels are just like 1,000 times better. Mortal Kombat!
Time. All right.
Maybe the Mortal game Kombat. Hasn't aged well.
Have you played the original Mortal Kombat recently, Hunter? It's
asleep. Yeah. Sunday. Last Sunday.
Really?
On the Genesis, yes. It's amazing. ABACABB. It hasn't aged well. What are you even talking about? What's that even mean?
Are you crushing and snorting pills as well?
God, so it's what's good doing the podcast?
All right, Hunter.
I'm pretty sure we have more fun hosting this than anyone could possibly have listened to.
That's probably.
Are you ready?
Yes.
You may begin.
Throughout video game history, we have seen titans rise and fall. Mascot wars, never-ending battles for the number one spot using weapons of old and new. Hammers, fireballs, whips, bats, chains, zip guns, all matters of evil. Comes a new hero created from lightning in the middle of nowhere. Comes a horrible night for a curse. A war begins, one that demands you to take a side and fight for the ultimate end. That war comes in the form of WCW / NWO The Revenge for the N64. Packed full of titans of the wrestling at the time, you can choose between multiple modes, wrestlers, and even make your own special events. The one true wrestling title that's made its way into the hands of millions with joy and delight.
Nice.
I can see Bailey breaking already in his mind.
Is there lightning on their leotards?
No, the intro of the game shows a semi driving down the street. Lightning strikes and Sting appears.
Oh, of course. Yeah, of course, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, cool.
So I got it.
All right.
There you
go. Horrible night burgers.
I guess I'll begin. The PlayStation 2.
15
it came
seconds.
Out a long time ago. And with it, in 2001, came a game called Final Fantasy X. That's right. It's the last good Final Fantasy game. Because they've been all pretty much shit since. I wouldn't know. I'm not going to spend the money to try them. Anyway, Final Fantasy X. You can unlock a weapon in the Thunder Plains, and all you have to do is dodge 200 consecutive lightning bolts. If that sounds fun to you, and you have roughly 35 minutes to spare, you can do this as well. It's also got that weird dodgeball, soccer, swimmy, floaty, flying sport. Blitzball, or whatever the hell it's called.
Blitzball!
Blitzball! It's Final Fantasy X. The last time Square made something good.
I love how you spent more of your intro complaining about Final Fantasy games than you did praising your own. Well, this week kind of sucks because Hunter clearly brought the thunder. I mean, that's one of the best games of all time.
Well, the lightning. At least the lightning.
Yeah.
The thunder follows.
I mean, jeez.
So WCW versus NWO World Tour, which was released previously.
That's
quite the lineage.
When it comes to wrestling games, there's not a lot to choose from, especially back then, right?
I don't know. WWF Raw for 64. That one was pretty good as well. Create a wrestler.
It was after this game.
It was really good.
Oh, wait. Raw was... Yes. Because you had, like, your WCW for the NES, and then, like, Royal Rumble for the Super NES wasn't too bad. That was a fun game. I played that game. But, man, when WCW NWO The Revenge came out, like, that... I felt like that game was the game. You know, like, if you wanted to play a wrestling game, that was the game to play.
Yeah, I think Hunter's got it.
Hunter's got it. What the hell?
It's way better than your crappy Mortal Kombat. Is it Raiden with an I or with a Y? That was always the controversy.
Oh, it's not controversial. It's R-A-I-D-E-N, my friend.
I don't think your game has it with an I. I think it's with a Y.
Well, it doesn't matter because you bought a wrestling game, so we're screwed.
Hey.
I win as well. Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much. I see no way to oppose your genre, which is mega popular. Many consider it.
Wrestling games are fun to play. I'll give them that.
Are you shitting me? You guys hate wrestling games. Like, I brought this because you guys don't like wrestling games. Since when?
You know, I once came across a list online. It was the top 50 The top 50 video games of all time.
And it was garbage because it was a top 50 list, right? Is that
two of the top 10 were wrestling games. So, I mean, wrestling games are like the epoch, like the apex genre. It's top dog. Yeah.
Tupac is dead.
Is he?
He's not a rapper anymore. He died.
It's news to me.
I mean, I still enjoy his music, but
I can't argue with wrestling. I mean,
you know, my favorite part of the game. I'm looking through the roster, and a ton of these guys are still wrestling.
Yes. So here's the beauty of this game. So again, yes, Jason's correct. A lot of these guys are still wrestling. It's also the pinnacle of when some of the more famed wrestlers were at their peak, or so to say, at the top of their fame. Hulk Hogan being one of them. This is when he turned to a heel and became Hollywood
Hogan.
Hulk Hogan, where he was a bad guy. You also have Scott Hall, who was originally with the WWF, known as the Ramon the Razor.
Razor Ramon.
For the WWF.
My favorite character in WWF Royal Rumble for the Sega Genesis. Razor Ramon. I also liked Papa Shango. You know, being the wrestling game aficionado that I am. Thought I would point that out. Oh
my gosh. I mean, something's... I don't know if, like, I'm just dreaming or... Because a wrestling game is brought up here, it's, like, shot down completely. And
now it's being wrestling. Accepted.
So confused.
I don't understand why they would be. They are proven.
Should I bring out my crane?
Time and
of
time
shame?
Again. How the hell? The top shelf titles.
Another thing, because I'm looking
rope,
up these names.
If you will.
The other half of these people who aren't wrestling are dead.
Dead, yeah, that's the other.
There's
you've got Chris Benoit, who killed himself and his family.
Family.
Due to
not in that order.
Reasons.
No, not in that order.
Correct. No, I'm sorry. You are correct. No, he killed
Macho
his
Man's dead.
Himself.
Oh,
yes. Macho Man is dead.
Oh yeah, dang.
It did Powder have like dead. A kind of pseudo create a character, which was kind of interesting. Where you could actually take a legit character that was already within the game, and then kind of change their outfit and change their name. So it was like the beginning of the create a character.
Yeah, can I tell a quick create a character story in a wrestling game?
Sure.
So WWF Raw, I played with a couple friends, a friend and his brother actually. We'd play, and we would take the time to create our own guys. You know, I created a guy called Cyborg. Okay. Huge hulking guy, and he had like gray and black on everything, so he actually kind of looked like a robot. And because you could adjust the stats, like you could allot so many points toward their strength and their speed. Well, there was a stat for charisma, and none of us were really sure what it did. So I'm the weirdo. I'm like, I'll find out. So I cranked my charisma up to 10. Do you know what the charisma rating does in WWF Raw?
Mm-mm.
It increases the likelihood of the crowd to start cheering for you when you do just a barely little bit of anything. And while the crowd is cheering for you, you can't be pinned, and your attacks are stronger, and you can execute grapple moves quicker than your opponents. So basically,
so it was worth it.
I pissed my friends off because I would spend half the match invincible, just steamrolling them. And it was this like huge snowball effect, because the crowd just keep cheering for me. I'd just be like kicking them halfway across the ring and throwing them out and pinning them. They'd pin me, I'd pop up even if I had no energy left. And the crowd's just like loving it. Oh yeah. But the best part is that even though I was this huge hulking cyborg guy, I used Gold Dust skill set and his moves. Nice. Something like open hand, like slapping people. It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Wrestling games. Can't beat them.
What has happened? This is
I don't know.
This is not the podcast I signed up for.
I don't know what to say about Mortal Kombat other than it's Mortal Kombat.
In Mortal Kombat,
it's
you
too
can
violent.
Tear the heart out of the chest of your enemy.
Yes.
Ah, good old Kano.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Here's my one fault.
I love the name Kano. Kombat. It's like a video game character name a 9-year-old would come up with. Like you're trying to make up a name.
Kane.
I'm going to name him Kano.
Oh, let's go with Kano. Yeah, that sounds awesome. Kano.
They legitimately went to the United States U.S. Congress to complain about violence in video games, which ultimately created the MSRB just to promote their own title.
Nice.
Like, what are you thinking? Like, that is such a...
Yeah. In our game, 90s. One of the characters, Sub-Zero, physically grabs the other character's head and tears it off of their body. And as the blood drips, you'll notice the spine emerge as well. And he holds the head up like this, and the spine kind of dangles underneath. There's people fainting as they hear this. Oh,
well,
the
90s. Here's
the
issue, is you run into countries that don't understand that it's just a video game, i.e. Australia, where the ESRB there in Australia is completely more... reserved than it is in the States and in Europe. Whereas any game that's considered mature, such as Mortal Kombat, they take it to a much higher level, which is adults only or AO, which means that they every company within Australia refuses to carry any AO games on their shelves. Even if it's something as small as Mortal Kombat or Grand Theft Auto 5, which was the recent debacle in Australia. To me, that's a backfire. Like, that's not what was originally intended.
Yeah. I wonder what...
Like, I'm fine with the ESRB. Like, I think it's a great idea. It's something that needs to be in place. But to do it in spite and just to create marketing and word of mouth for your own video game?
Why don't books have ratings?
Not. Say that again?
Movies have a rating just for the purpose of seeing like what kind of content it has and help parents decide if a kid should see it. Video games have a rating system for the age appropriateness. Why don't books?
They do. Books have ratings. It's just not
just children,
as diverse.
Adult, or every other book.
No, it's not as diverse as like movies or video games. It's more or less, do we read this book or do we burn it? That is kind of
that's the rating. Yes.
What it
there's
comes
no,
down to.
There's real,
it's
real
true.
Like, there is a blacklist of
the
books.
The politics of books is one extreme or the other. It's either, wow, that's pornographic, get that away from my family, or it's everybody should consume all content altogether and let yourself be influenced by it.
Yeah. Hold the porn.
Books are so weird, like, in that way. Like, it's a very different kind of media in that aspect.
I think it's because books allow the participant to think on it. It forces them to think on their own, whereas with movies and video games, you are a participant. So you're not actively involved. Will you please put down the 1990 yellow pages?
I put it down.
Damn it, Billy.
But yeah, you should. Final Fantasy. It's awesome.
I wonder what Vince McMahon would have to say about violence in video games.
I don't know, nor do I care. I want to talk about Final Fantasy. Here's why I want to talk about Final Fantasy.
Why?
My history with Final Fantasy ends with Final Fantasy IV.
Ooh.
Really?
Just, that's it.
Have you ever played 7?
You ever played 7?
Which is Final Fantasy VI for the Super NES. Like, that's where my Final Fantasy
ends. How'd you not play
7? It's really easy. When the PlayStation was released, I was a Sega fan,
right.
So I bought the Saturn.
Oh, wait, a what fan? A what fan?
Which was the superior console.
Right.
No, what kind of fan did you say you were?
I was a Saturn fan. Sega Saturn?
A what Saturn?
Sega Saturn fan?
Yeah. What is that word? I'm having one of those weird moments where...
I didn't know we had a denier on the podcast. I didn't know
Listen,
we had a
Hunter.
A
even
Saturn
I played
denier.
It, and I didn't have a console. No, I had an N64. I played it on PC.
I am sorry.
The original PC release.
The remake is coming out, which is going to
No, like the original PC release, like from back in the 90s.
So it was terrible, is what you're telling me.
It worked. It was fairly well.
Jason.
Anyway.
Which Final Fantasy game did you bring? More importantly, does it matter? Which
Ten.
Final Fantasy
Final
game
Fantasy
you bring?
Blitzball Edition.
What is this game? What is
Final
it?
Fantasy Roman numeral. There it is.
You're going on your Final Fantasy for the 10th time.
What is the protagonist like? Is he like an angsty young adult male with hair and costume?
And he's got
issues.
He's got a sword.
Does he use a blade
he's gonna
for a
people with guns.
Okay.
And
yeah,
he travels
like
in a group.
Every other Final Fantasy game.
Yeah. But this one's the prettiest up until then.
I don't care. Hunter bought a wrestling game. It's superior.
And you can dodge lightning in under 35 minutes, according to a guide I found. Because apparently that's the speedy way to do it. 35 minutes.
In my game, you can also dodge lightning.
Yes, you can, but no one cares about
Mortal
Kombat.
Your game has a feature that you're promoting heavily. You've mentioned it like 3 times now. My game has the same feature.
That was our theme, lightning.
And you can tear people's heads off. Okay. But
in my game, you are created from lightning.
Pipsy, Hunter wins. I give up. I don't know. Like, there's no... Man, he brought one of the best games of all time.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're mocking me every time you say something like that.
He is.
I don't understand what is going on with this podcast anymore.
What'd you say about Sega?
Wrestling games, man. They're just...
Did Sega make any wrestling games?
Where?
I'm sure. Why? What's that have to do with anything?
I don't know. That would be the best game ever.
Well, I mean, frankly, guys, Hunter's game is so much better than ours. I'm kind of not in the mood to even try to debate it. I'm just
all right.
Yeah, so final arguments.
Sweet.
Jason, why should anyone
are
go
we?
For
what are we doing?
Final Fantasy V on top of an upside down V?
Well.
Wait, you mean 10? Is that
what you're... Yeah, 10. NV. V inverted V. You should vote for Final Fantasy V inverted V. Because you play a guy called Titus and you go on some type of quest. And if I remember correctly, you have to fight your father, but he's some sort of demon. I'm not sure. It's been about 14 years.
Sounds like a Star Wars ripoff.
Yeah, probably 10 years. Yeah, it's Star Wars Final Fantasy VII X.
With robots.
Star Wars Final Fantasy VII X trigger.
Yeah.
Hunter,
you will be triggered.
I don't think people need a reason to vote for your game, but you get a final argument, so go ahead and
I'd
convince any doubters out there. I mean, your game is the clear frontrunner.
I'm afraid that if you vote for my game, that the world's going to end. So please don't.
It would only make sense if they voted for your game. That would be the natural order of things. You brought the superior title. How can one argue with wrestling games being the best video games, beating out all other genres?
It's snowing in hell.
How could you argue against that?
Which just means that the Bengals have won the Super Bowl. If you live in Cincinnati,
the Cubs are going to win the World Series before the Bengals win a Super Bowl. You heard it here.
Probably. That's a very true statement. Don't vote for WCW.
Do not
NWO
the vote no. for the Bengals.
No.
Just don't. You shouldn't vote for my game. I mean,
so confused.
My game is my game is basically a shadowy half imitation of Hunter's game. Hunter's game evolved from mine. I mean, it came. His is a growth from it. Mine's just the crappy seed in the dirt. Hunter's game is the majestic root.
I feel like this is just a terrible nightmare.
So, that's our show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Again, if you have any emails for us, the email address is podcast@onewordcastle.com. Jason, do you have any reminders, shameless plugs, nubs, shout-outs?
Nubs? Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lamb. And if you want some nubs,
he's got some for sale? Or?
Join the army. They're recruiting now.
I don't know. Is that what they call it in Canada? Is it the army in Canada?
No, we don't have one. We just have penguins. They protect our north. Wait, no, those are in the south.
I don't know what we got then. You're not penguins. You have polar bears. Come on.
Okay, that's not what I meant. I didn't know if like they were referred to as like the Royal Guard or something.
The Royal Guard.
Hunter.
No.
What?
Do you have any reminders? Shameless plugs, nubs, or shout-outs?
The Royal Guard.
Follow me on Twitter at... I don't know. You guys sound more drunk than I am normally in the show. Follow me on Twitter at Eric Hunter. For all things me, follow ericmhunter.net. I've got a new video series called Time to Crate, which is the only unbiased video game review rating on the internet. You can find it at... ericmhunter.net. I've got nothing but nubs for days.
Last and probably least, I'm Eric Bailey. I'm back on Twitter. So you can follow me on Twitter at Nintendo_legend. That's a literal underscore, not the word underscore. So it's Nintendo Legend. Between the words Nintendo and Legend, there's one underscore. Because some jerk took Nintendo Legend together. I should really contact Twitter and be like, "Look, the guy's dead. He hasn't tweeted in 5 years."
Really
and I don't have any projects currently. I just I'm a Twitter personality. That's all I do. I came to a weird realization lately. I had an email told me I gained 100 followers this week, and that's less than 1% of my total. That's a weird math thing. That's strange. So,
I would love 100 followers.
Twitter.
I gained 1 this week.
Well, the funny thing is I lost 64. That's the funny thing.
Still net gain.
So yeah, we live stream every Thursday evening, 7:30 p.m. Central. I want to give a special shout out to people who commented, like Jason Lamb, the Royal Guard, Mr. Nubs, Jonathan Alley, Jonathan Higgins, Aaron Alcorn. Thank you guys. Prince Rescue was on. There he is. Prince Rescue was on. We had a couple of viewers who didn't comment. That's cool. Wow, I don't know. That's even cooler. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. New episodes Monday at homocastle.com. Last but not least, remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week!